in your Bibles and turning your Bibles to Luke chapter 2 this morning. As I read a portion of what is commonly read on Christmas, the Christmas story from Luke chapter 2. I thank you for participating this morning and praising our Lord and honoring Him. The Christmas story, you've heard messages every year, probably since you were born, on this incredible event. You've probably heard all different takes and angles. And as much as I would want to give you something new, probably will not. But perhaps God will remind us of some things and some truths that maybe we've forgotten, or that maybe we just need to pay closer attention to. I'm not going to read the entire story, but I do want to begin at verse 1, and we'll proceed down through about half of this chapter. As we do so, I'd like to draw your attention to some men, some shepherds. We've heard about some of them today through songs and through different things. But the shepherds many times are overlooked, and in fact, in the society of that day, a shepherd was somebody of low estate. They had a very difficult time remaining ceremonially clean. In order to operate in the temple, they dealt with animals all day long, every day. They were around death. They were fighting the enemy prey as they would come and seek to attack their sheep. And so these men were not looked at as respectable men. There were some shepherds that specifically had the job of taking care of the flock that was to be used for sacrifices. And in fact, they had some very specific guidelines in order to take care of the lambs so that they would be without blemish and worthy of the sacrifices there in the temple. Let's look at our text in Luke chapter 2, gain a setting, and then we'll see how God uses these lowly men as a part of one of the greatest moments that will ever be. Luke chapter 2, verse 1, and it came to pass in those days that there went out a decree from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be taxed. And this taxing was first made when Cyrenius was governor of Syria. And all went to be taxed, every one into his own city. And Joseph also went up from Galilee, out of the city of Nazareth, into Judea, unto the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David, to be taxed with Mary, his espoused wife, being great with child. And so it was that while they were there, the days were accomplished that she should be delivered. And she brought forth her firstborn son, and wrapped him in swaddling clothes, and laid him in a manger, because there was no room for them in the inn. I just want to stop there, make sure we get a context. Galilee, the northern region of Israel. And this is where Joseph and Mary were traveling from. They were traveling as a result of a census that was being taken. So this was a required journey. And they were heading down to the house of their fathers, their forefathers, their grandfathers, which was Bethlehem. Bethlehem was the home of King David. And if you remember how King David was chosen, remember Samuel came to the home of Jesse, and Jesse laid out all of his sons, didn't he? No, he didn't. He laid out all of his sons except for one. Which one was that? It was David. Where was David? He was out tending the sheep, perhaps in these very fields that surrounded Bethlehem. And so, we have Joseph and Mary. They come to this place, and We don't know exactly where Jesus was born, but we know that he was laid in a manger. And she brought forth her firstborn son, verse 7. She wrapped him in swaddling clothes. She laid him in a manger because there was no room for them in the inn. Now let's look at the shepherds. Verse 8. And there were in the same country, shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. These were good shepherds. They were doing what they were trained to do. They were watching over their sheep. Now, this is taking place at night, darkness. So typically, during the evening, the shepherds would take turns in their watches. In other words, they would have one man that would stand guard and watch over the sheep. This sometimes would take place in a sheepfold or out in the open, but they would have the sheep close together so that they would be easier to protect. The shepherds, they would typically have with them three important articles. They would have a satchel, a bag made out of goat skin with the legs tied together, so it would form a bag where they would carry their food and provisions. They would have a staff, and the staff was used to help keep control of the sheep, and it is typically what you see a shepherd having. And then they would also, many times, have a rod. And the rod would be a heavier piece of wood made out of a hard oak, and it would be harder on one end, or not harder, but bigger, larger, almost like a club. And many times it's reported and throughout history that they would even put spikes in the end of that club. And what do you think that was for? Well, you guessed it. The lions and the bears, and to gain the protection of themselves and of their sheep. And so you would have these men, hardened warriors of the sheep field. And at night, here they are, out in the field, watching over their flocks, perhaps in the very same field where David watched over his flocks, and where David gained victory over the bears and the lions. Let's go to verse 9. And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them. Now, is that a good way to read that phrase? And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them. You think it was just a normal happening? You think it was just something that happened every single night and, oh, it's about time for the angel to come? No. And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them. That literally means that the angel stood over them. His presence was intimidating. In the scriptures here, the language and lo brings about the idea of surprise. This was something that was unexpected and something that was wonderful, incredible for them to see. In verse 9, continuing on, and lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were sore afraid. Now let's wrap our minds around this concept. Glory of the Lord. Well, glory of the Lord is not something that we should take casually. The glory of the Lord throughout the scriptures is used to describe where God's presence is, or it's the testimony or the evidence of God's presence. We see it on Mount Sinai. Remember the Israelites when they received the law. It was described as the glory of the Lord was there. And it was an incredibly frightening experience for them. The glory of the Lord hung over the tabernacle. And at different times, it was so great that Moses could not even enter therein. The glory of the Lord was there at the temple when it was dedicated, so much so that the priests were not able to enter in. The glory of the Lord is terrifying. The glory of the Lord is something that we do not have any, we don't have any concept of, and neither did our lowly shepherds. But the Bible tells us here that the angel of the Lord came upon them, the glory of the Lord shone round about them. And remember that the glory is actually the opinion or description of God Himself. So, who is God? He is holy, He's perfect, He is great. And the evidence of all of those characteristics is His glory. And so that glory is shining all around them, and this produces an utter fear, a great fear. The Greek word here for afraid, phobia. This is a deep, real fear. Let's read on. Verse 10, the angel said unto them, fear not. Fear not. Have you ever been spoken to by an angel? No. We haven't. I haven't. And these shepherds, neither had they. They just knew sheep. That's what they knew. And they knew it well. And now they have been confronted with an angel and the glory of the Lord. And now the angel is speaking to them. You can imagine their posture, going from watching the sheep to lying flat on the ground. And the angel says, fear not. Do not be afraid. For behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. Now let's not miss this important fact. Who's the angel talking to? Shepherds. He's talking to shepherds. You know, you would think that God would try to announce His Savior's birth in a grand and incredible way, with great fanfare, parades. But no, it was done in a great and incredible way, but it was to shepherds out in the fields, and there they were. And the angel says, I bring you good news. I've got some good tidings to share with you, great joy. And it is for all people. For unto you, shepherds, is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. Now, in the Israelite mind, in the Jewish mindset, Christ was the word for the Messiah, the Anointed One, the One who was to be sent from God to deliver them. And here, the shepherds were given a private announcement. He's here. In fact, He's been born. It was just today. He is a Savior. In verse 12, and this shall be a sign unto you. And notice what the sign is. The sign, you shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. Well, what's the sign? The sign is not a baby wrapped in swaddling clothes. Because indeed, that night or that day, there might have been many babies born in Bethlehem. And they would many times wrap them in swaddling clothes. But here's the sign. You're going to find a baby wrapped in swaddling clothes. Where? He's lying in a manger. Well, what's a manger, you might ask? Well, a manger is a feeding trough. It could have been made out of stone. It could have been made out of wood. We don't know. But it was made to feed animals. And so therefore, the shepherds in their minds say, there was a baby born tonight. He's the Savior of the world. And how are we going to know? We're going to find Him in a place where animals are fed, in a place where there's a manger. Well, the very fact that the angel says, I give you this sign, assumes this upon the shepherds. Well, you need to go and find him, doesn't it? You need to go and find him. In verse 12, this shall be a sign unto you. You shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. And after that, suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host, praising God and saying, glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. You know, it's almost as if God was just bursting at the seams to make such an announcement. And it was such that he said, go, go, angel, and tell these shepherds, tell them. And it's almost as if God said, okay, he's done. Now, go, announce, praise, give glory to me, for the great Redeemer has come. For indeed, dear ones, the coming of Jesus Christ is the crown of all history and of God's plan for you and for me. And so the shepherds witness the incredible announcement, and God just bursting forth in his love for you and for me. And so this heavenly host is praising God and saying, glory to God in the highest, on earth peace, goodwill toward men. And in that very message, we learn these truths. God, he's out of our reach. He's holy, he's perfect, he's of the highest. But God, knowing that, extended himself through his Son Jesus Christ so that you and I might have an opportunity to know God, the highest. And so therefore on earth there may be peace known in the hearts of you and of me as God offers his Son to this world to live and to die. Verse 15, and it came to pass, as the angels were gone away from them into heaven, the shepherds said one to another, let us now go, even unto Bethlehem, and see this thing which is come to pass, which the Lord hath made known unto us. Dear ones, there was no doubt in the shepherds' minds what had happened that night. There was no doubt who had spoken. There was no doubt that they had received a message from the Lord. And so therefore they left their fields and they went to Bethlehem. They went to see that which the angels had announced had come to pass that day. And then they came with haste, verse 16, and found Mary and Joseph and the babe, where? Lying in a manger. Notice they came with haste. I could imagine after such an incredible fanfare and glory, these shepherds getting up off of their knees, looking at one another, wondering if they saw and heard the same thing. And they have this conversation, we have got to go. We need to see what has come to pass. And it's almost like they get up and they're out of there. They go. With haste, the scripture says. And they find the babe lying in a manger. That was the sign that the angel had said. And in verse 17, and when they had seen it, they made known abroad the saying which was told them concerning this child. And all they that heard it wondered at those things which were told them by the shepherds. The shepherds, they were lowly people. Their position was that of lowly shepherds out there that night, they received an incredible presentation from God. They were presented with the message that Jesus had been born, that the Messiah had come. And therefore then, they went out, found Jesus, and they became the first missionaries, if you will, as they proclaimed to all that was around them the message they heard and what they had seen. You see, the message they received, it truly is good news. It is good news because it's Jesus, our Savior. He was born, and He did live on this earth, and He lived a perfect, sinless life. And then He died. He died on a cross. He was buried and He rose again. That being the greatest news that any of us will ever know. And this is all announced to the shepherds that night. Now, dear ones, as we celebrate Christmas this season, may we remember the message that Christmas is about Jesus coming to this earth, because that is the beginning. That is the beginning of the gospel. The gospel, the good news of Jesus' life, death, burial, and resurrection.